You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
I love this stuff. I said I have to share it with my friends. Sorry.
For those of you who don't understand what Rob is talking about, he's talking about Charqui, gluten-free, paleo-certified lamb jerky that's higher in protein, doesn't have any chemicals or nitrates in it. So you get the best quality taste while also getting the best quality meat. Now, the guys who started Charqui, they're a lot like us. They believe that you should be treated the way I want to be treated, or I should treat others the way I want to be treated. That's why they created Charqui, to make sure that you had an all-natural, healthy snack that was gluten-free and tasted amazing. If you want to check it out, go to charqui.love. That's charqi.love. And it'll take you to the Amazon page. There are three flavors, but sweet and spicy is Rob's personal favorite. So make sure to check out charqui.love. Yes, that is a website, charqui.love, and it's amazing.
So don't drink the Kool-Aid, eat the Charqui.
And a new tagline from Rob. Guys, I also have to say, there are many of us who have been out there and they have crashed their drone. They're learning the pitfalls of DJI Carefresh. That's if they're commercial operators. And they're realizing there's got to be a better way. There's got to be some better way. Well, there may be a better way. You've got to check out some people that we know over at unmannedsas.com/drone you. They'll diagnose your drone, they'll send you a shipping label, and it stays inside the United States. For $29.95, they're going to diagnose your drone, tell you what's wrong, and if you elect to get it fixed with them, they'll give you $20 back towards fixing it. Isn't that cool? It's also simple, and again, they provide the shipping labels. Now, if you love America, then you'll love these guys because they are based in America and also use veterans to help them get the job done. So if you want to support the guys who have supported all of us, make sure to go to unmannedsas.com/drone you. You're going to love it. All right, guys. Well, welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul, and I'm still getting ready to be on the show.
And my name is Rob, and we're helping Paul get ready, but he's doing a great job. And this is episode number 521. Wow, 521. It's pretty cool to say that. And we thank you for that. Appreciate you spending all this time with us that you have.
Do you know what's also pretty cool, Rob?
Tell me. Tell us.
We've already had 100,000 listens this year in 2017.
That is awesome. It is, and it's so cool because, frankly, can I have an honest moment here?
No.
Thank you. When we first started out with this podcast... I don't know, maybe the first 50, 100 episodes. The reality is the questions were not like flowing in. And so it was kind of tough and wasn't quite as fun because we were kind of struggling for questions sometimes. And now for the last, whatever, 300, 400 episodes, they just flow in. And that's what makes this podcast so successful is you guys are obviously out there listening.
Thank you, guys.
Sharing, subscribing, reviewing. But you're sending in your questions. You're taking the time. You're being brave enough, whatever it takes.
Well, you know what? Also, what you guys are doing are providing answers to other people who have those same questions.
Yeah, totally.
You're helping get information out into the world. That way we can retain our freedom to fly. So collectively, we're all helping each other out. And
for
that's
sure.
What it's about. Because
Absolutely.
We love to fly.
Absolutely. And I even love to fly now more than SMA.
Well, I missed Fly Day Friday on Friday, and I hit rock bottom, so don't miss your Friday Fly Days.
Yeah. It's going to take something big for that to happen, and it was a rough Friday, but we're doing fine now.
Oh, I'm fine, yeah.
We're doing fine.
Made a mistake, and I...
Everybody does.
...take myself really seriously, so...
Everybody does.
When I make a mistake, it's... I just got to let it go. You know, when you can't control something, why dwell on it?
Absolutely. And so we're moving on and we'll get all that stuff fixed up. But you know what? I think today's question actually speaks to a person who doesn't want to make a mistake. They want a nice solid list to get them going in their drone business. And so should we play the question?
Play it.
Go
play
from there.
That funky question, Robbo.
Hi, my name is Arden. I'm from Kansas, and I know you guys have talked about basically kind of what you need to get started and stuff like that, but I was looking for more maybe a detailed listing of, you know, everything from drones to cameras to what actual editing equipment use and editing software, and then also just what's the best drone, I guess, for literally everything. And then at that price point, would you want to buy two if you were to think about doing, you know, every job, say, you know, from real estate all the way up to inspections of oil rigs and so forth and all that kind of stuff? Just all around, I guess, just a detailed listing of what it would take to start up and so forth, because that's kind of where I'm at right now. And I love the podcast. Have a great day.
Arden, we love you. Thank you for the question. And remember, guys, if you have a question, go to askdroneu.com. Get it in. We'll get to it just as soon as we can. Appreciate every single one of them.
And I just want to take a second, guys, really quick, because I just realized that I had a whole folder of questions on my Facebook profile. And a lot of people know that I use my middle name on Facebook instead of my last name on Facebook, because I used to own another business that was extremely popular, and I tried hiding myself, to be honest. But that being said, I found a bunch of questions about, you know, the DroneU community, questions, just drone questions as a whole. And guys, if you do have a question, just go to askdroneu.com. We will answer your question. It may take a little bit of time, but I'll be honest with you. We'll answer your question on the show before we answer your question via email. It's just with the volume of emails right now, it's absurd. It's absurd, and we're in the process of creating a new system to take care of all of that. From my heart to yours, if you have a good question, askdroneu.com. All I got
to
say.
Absolutely. I'm going to add one little thing to that, and that is the goal is to get the question answered, so it might not be you as the person who asked it, right? Because obviously we get some of the same questions. So maybe we'll answer Bob's instead of Jim's, but Bob's would have answered Jim's. So just keep that in mind if you don't hear your voice. Hopefully we're still answering your question.
Is that how the combination of Jim Bob came together?
No, that would be Bob Jim.
Oh, gotcha.
I don't know.
All right. So he's talking about... You know, I love this. I'm hoping our editor is going to show you this. The couple apps that I use just to fly real quick. Number one, Hover provides KP index, provides visibility, provides weather. But realistically, what it provides are the weather minimums and information relevant to Part 107. Number two, he's asking about all the apps, right? Just apps from flying to software to business, everything, right?
Actually, no, this gentleman is asking about equipment. So the way I would pose the question to you is...
I must have misheard the question.
Well, we've been listening to a lot of questions as we sit here preparing for this. So in your defense, I will submit that. But this particular person, and I would change the question around to pose it to you, if knowing what you know, and you know a lot, and you're starting a business, and you're going to do not necessarily just real estate type stuff, but maybe go a little deeper into some of the industrial type work. What are the absolute must-haves in your portfolio of equipment and software that you would put together to start your business?
To go into the deeper stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And so just adding to that really, really quickly is sort of what would be the best all-around drone to fit that paradigm.
Oh, yes. That was the kicker
there.
So like
cameras, what kind of computer would you get? And I think the way we should approach this, by the way, is he didn't give us a budget. That's fine. Maybe we just kind of use a mid-range budget, not cheap, not too expensive.
I think we should do it how DroneU did it, which is, you know, we always try to get under budget. We don't want to spend too much money. We always try to find the best option for the money, meaning we're not always going high end. For example, right? Perfect example. The MacBook Pro.
Right.
Right? We did not buy the new year model because it sucks. We bought the year before that. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it's customizable. You can customize the RAM, you can customize the hard drive,
right,
and you don't have to do it at Apple because it costs 1/10 the price on Amazon. So we take these things into account. We are BEO. We are business engine optimizers.
Oh, very good, yeah. I like to
I
hope
just
so.
Coined
think so.
That term.
That's nice.
On the show. David Kovlar may not like that, but I don't really care what he thinks. So that guy was trying to get on me for regulatory grade data. I'm like, DJI used this term 6 months ago. Anyway.
Don't mind the haters, Paul. Don't mind the haters.
No. I find it funny that just people get so fixated on minutia. Anyway, the best drone, in my opinion, for the money, right? If we're talking money, full system, batteries, case, filters, Tacos? Called them tacos again.
Dad, coming, I'm going to hear about that one. Okay, carry on.
They are made by a company called Tacos.
Well.
They are called tacos on Amazon. Mm-hmm. Anyway, minutia. P4 Pro. Hands down, P4 Pro. Now, if you're doing industrial inspections, real industrial inspections, and you've got to get regulatory grade data. You know, we had a question come in from a guy from Albuquerque, and he's doing stuff on the Navajo reservation, which I honestly think is really cool.
Yeah.
We spoke with them, you remember, 4 years ago. So that's really cool that they're finally making their way into it. But that being said, if you're going to be doing inspections to get regulatory grade data. So this is data that can be held up in court. Why is that important? If this guy goes out and makes a map of a dam, if he goes out and he makes a map of a road, and let's say the dam erodes, right? Like the Oroville Dam we're seeing in California right now, mm-hmm. eroding, threatening thousands of lives. Imagine if you did a drone map on that dam mm-hmm. with a P3 or a Mavic Pro or an Inspire 1. And you said, that dam is good to go.
Ouch.
And you give that map to a surveyor. Surveyor looks at that map. He interprets the map based on the information there. And he signs off on it. Let's be honest. Knowing what we know about Oroville Dam and knowing what we know about the quality and resolution of those drones, it is not physically possible to get the depth of data that mm-hmm. we need to make legal-based decisions. Hmm. And the example is in the Oroville Dam. Look at how the federal government has reacted to this. Were there any drones used? Zero. All helicopters. Mapping, videoing, everything, all helicopters. And that should tell you guys something. So if you want to do maps and you want to take it seriously, you're going to have like a Matrice 600, Alta 8. I would do the Matrice 600 for mapping, frankly. Okay. It's made for mapping, if you want to know the truth. With a Ronin MX or just a Ronin itself and a Sony A7R Mark II, that 42-pixel sensor, or a Canon 50-megapixel sensor. I mean, guys, you're going to hear it first. The new DJI Wind 1, that is the new drone coming out in NAB in April. We're 2 months out. The new Wind 1 will have a 100-megapixel sensor to do regulatory-grade data. This camera is coming with a Hasselblad imaging sensor. It's a medium format imaging sensor because that's the only thing that can actually get the data necessary to make legal decisions. So
wow.
That camera is also $30,000.
I was going to say, we might have just shot right past Arden's position here.
We got to be honest with people, though. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be like all the other drone podcasts out there that just tell you what you could read on the back of the box. I want to give people the real, no BS. This is, look, you can go out and do mapping. You can do a lot of cool stuff with mapping. Golf courses, construction, elevation map, topographical. You can get great data with a Phantom 4 Pro. Actionable data. But when it comes to critical infrastructure, when it comes to crime scene mapping, mm-hmm. you can't get accurate data that's measurable in post-production with these lower-end sensors. You know, the P4 Pro is really the first drone that even scratched the surface to say, like, I'm coming close. Mm-hmm. And I think, DJI is after this because if they get the big Fortune 500 companies on board, they've got a huge lobbying group to now help them lobby against or for upcoming drone rules, like maybe a new micro rule. We'll see. Who knows?
Yeah. We're hopeful.
Let's scale it back. So I've told them the big issue with the job is the level of data and the accuracy of that data and the type of jobs you can go after mm-hmm. are going to be limited by the equipment you have.
Sure.
Okay. Now, if we're mapping golf courses, if we're doing small-scale construction, residential mm-hmm. construction, if we're doing maybe some vineyards, maybe some ag, Phantom 4 Pro is a great solution for small scale projects.
And by the way, those are all great ways to break into that kind of business.
Amen, brother.
So that sounds like a good solution in his case.
I'll be honest with you, because I haven't gotten the Inspire 2 yet, which is on its way sometime soon in the future. I love the Phantom 4 Pro. I love the Mavic because I call it my clandestine drone. In fact, you know, I used to get pulled aside at TSA because my battery case, I get pulled at TSA every single time now. But because of my Mavic Pro. In my backpack, I got a full backpack, my entire filming kit in one backpack.
It's fantastic.
It really is. But when it comes to camera quality, even when I'm, you know, doing photos and videos, the Phantom 4 Pro, just the magnitude and depth is amazing. So, you know, a lot of people have been like, well, I'm getting centimeter grade data with my Phantom 3 and Phantom 4. Why should I up to the Phantom 4 Pro? And it's like, is that 100 centimeters? Is that 10 centimeters? Is that 1 centimeter? I recently did a construction presentation and a guy's map was 13 miles off from ArcGIS.
Eh, what's 13 miles amongst friends, Paul?
A whole lot of beer, Rob. Whole lot of beer.
That's funny. 13 miles. I thought you were going to say like 13, I don't know, inches.
No, miles.
Yeah. I love it.
Anyway, the fact of the matter is that mapping right now is constrained by resolution, quality of data, and accuracy. But you're going to see a whole lot this year. And this year is going to be really the year of the industrial drone, in my opinion. Brett Woods, you called it. Good call.
All right. Good call. Very nice.
And by the way, Brett did not give me any of that information. I got that all on my own. So there's, anyway, Wind One is going to be an amazing machine for a lot of industrial projects, maybe even search and rescue, but we don't know. We don't quite know yet. I still think the Matrice 100 is still the best for that because
for
you could have dual cameras on there, XT, Z3, and that's like, boom, the best of the best right there. You got what you need.
Very cool.
Maybe even go Z30 if you're super crazy.
Okay, well, we're not super crazy around here. What else should he have? So let's
speak
say,
for yourself, Rob.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point. What else should he have in the back of his expedition as he heads over to that job?
Good
what
car
cameras?
Choice. Great car choice.
I figured.
What camera should he have?
Or what couple of cameras? I mean, maybe he needs more than one. Maybe the Osmo Plus.
Well, that's kind of how I look at it. I look at it as if I'm doing anything mobile, I'm using the Osmo. If I'm doing anything low light inside or something that I can shoot and I want lots of depth and also lots of flexibility in the footage, I love my Alpha 6300. Even Eric Chang, it's funny, he wrote the book on aerial photography. We wrote the book on living the drone life. He still has a 6500, an Alpha 6500 that he loves for video, but he still thinks a full frame camera is necessary for photography. For me, I'm not delivering to high end clients, the highest of the high end clients to really justify that. But I think that I have a 6300. The 6500 is the new one. It's awesome. I would get a 6500 if I were you. I would also get an Osmo Plus or an Osmo Pro. The Osmo Pro is a little bit better in low light. There you have just so much that you can do with it. As far as other equipment goes, make sure you have a neutral gray card. I've been realizing if I just take a picture with the drone outside and I set my white balance right there. So I set the white balance, do auto white balance, take a picture of that gray card. Now I just go into Lightroom and I put my little eyedropper on the neutral gray card and now I have perfect white balance in all of my photos.
That's a cool tip.
Yep. So
very nice.
That really helps. Also, the other things that I have in my bag, I carry one of the study guides around with me everywhere. As far as FAA stuff that you're supposed to have, I know this isn't equipment related, but make sure you have your registration documents, your 107 certificate. That's all really, really important.
What about, let's see, cases? What cases would you not leave home without?
GPC. I mean, I love those guys. I really do love those guys. It's so funny. Rick and Beth, who own GPC, Rick told me one time, he's like, DroneU is really part of the fabric of the industry.
Oh, that's
you
a nice thing to say.
Yeah.
It's
and
very
I
cool.
think they are. I think they are more so than we are.
Got to keep those drones safe.
I wouldn't go anywhere without one of those cases.
Okay, so you got your case.
And
I'm
by
sorry.
The way, if you guys want a discount on a case, just go to GPC's website and use the offer code DRONEU15. And voila, discount on the case.
Yeah, I think it's 10%, but on some of those cases, that's 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 bucks.
Dong hei fa choy.
Bucks.
Dong hei fa choy. That's Happy New Year in Chinese.
Thank you for that.
It's Chinese New Year.
Today?
Was last week.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't know that. Anyways, okay.
I probably
what else?
Said it all wrong. I'm sure I'm going to get like 100 emails about how to say that properly.
That's funny.
Actually, let me say that one more time. Rob will get 100 emails.
Yeah, no kidding. Thank you for that clarification. So therefore, don't send them. But let's see what else. What software? Can we move to software?
Sure. Software-wise, okay, so I made the move to go down the Apple route for video production. With Apple's recent updates with Final Cut Pro, I would recommend against that.
Really? No Final Cut Pro?
Nope. I would totally recommend against that. Apple has really taken a step away from Final Cut Pro, and the things that they did in the most recent update are the dumbest things possible. They're really dumbing down the software for new users, and they're taking away so many amazing features from Final Cut Pro.
That's unfortunate.
I agree. So I would go Adobe Premiere Pro. You're welcome, Adobe. So we should affiliate with them probably. You can learn Adobe Premiere Pro. There are tons and tons of classes all over to learn it. We got a guy coming in here to teach a class on it. My editing class will be on Final Cut Pro, which should be done soon. Sorry. Right now, okay, just to put it in perspective, guys, we just finished the Mavic Pro Don't Crash course. Phantom 4 Pro Don't Crash course is next week, including the flying over water tips and tricks and subject tracking. So,
and I'm really excited about this. We're redoing or we're adding to our Part 107 prep materials.
Yeah, so
restructuring that course. You guys are going to love that. If you haven't passed yet, you haven't studied yet, you're going to want to be a part of that.
Yeah, and it's awesome because so many people are still going through our Part 107 course right now, which is amazing. But some people have said the way you guys shot it and did the production, you know, because we did a live class and then recorded that.
Right.
But some people want it broken down a little bit more. Some people are like, I liked the Remote Pilot 101 organization, but that guy misses a lot of points and comments because you can tell he's from a manned aviation background. Mm. And after watching his videos and going through their stuff, I totally see where they're coming from.
Sure.
But so what we're saying is, well, okay, we're going to do something else. We're going to reorganize these videos and do Talking Head studio style. So you'll have both options. So if you want to do a live class and hear other people's comments and questions and give you different perspective and insight, you can do that. If you want a structured studio online class like Linda, whatever, you're going to have that too. So
yeah, very cool. Equipment in terms of PC, iMac, obviously. So what would you suggest somebody like Arden buy to have his editing done on it?
So many people, this is, you know, an argument that can go on both sides. It's a personal thing, frankly. For me, I used to, a lot of people don't know this, I used to be huge. Huge. Donald Trump, huge on PCs.
And okay? That was pre-drone you, because we've not known you as Mr. PC.
That is true. That was pre-drone you. But as soon as I got into media, I quickly realized how much faster Mac computers are than Windows purely on media. Like, it's not even...
So an iMac, like one of the ones that we have, maybe.
Yeah. So what I would do, if it were me, is I would buy the lower-end grade 5K iMac.
Okay.
Right? So you definitely want an SSD, or the flash storage is fine if you're going to edit on SSDs. But the reason you should get the iMac 5K, get it with the lowest amount of RAM, go on Amazon, buy the highest amount of RAM you can fit in there, which is, I think, 32 gigabytes of RAM. So you're creating the fastest speed possible for the processor. But also I like the 5K because it's got such a big screen. Now, here's the first thing. Everyone's like, what computer should I do? What computer should I buy and software should I use? Did you know that 90% of editors don't do this one thing and it fundamentally ruins everything they clip together? Do you know what that one thing is?
Yeah, you gotta. What is it called? What's the right word? You gotta fix the.
You gotta calibrate
Calibrate your screen. That's right.
You gotta calibrate your screen.
I feel like I deserve a gold star for that.
I think it's called Spider. Is it Spider Monkey? I forget the name of the brand, but there's a couple different brands where it measures the ambient light in the room versus the light coming from your screen, and it calibrates your screen so that way when you edit photos or you edit video, it's going to look the same when delivered to other computers and other screens and YouTube. You know,
critical.
It's so critical, and no one does it. So a Vic Moss tip and trick from his photography editing class here at DroneU is he sets his background to his computer as neutral gray.
Okay.
Because he goes, if you're looking at a bunch of yellows or you're looking at a bunch of reds, he goes, it creates bias in your eye. So if you're always looking at neutral gray, you're going to have the best idea of where color really sits. Now, guys, also understand that men and women see color differently. Women see color more vibrantly than we do. They also see color just slightly different. So software, computers, whether you get a Windows or you get a PC, just make sure you calibrate it. For me, I'm trying to buy the lowest end 5K iMac I can, and then I'm upgrading that iMac through Amazon. So, for example, we use Synology for our storage. We have multiple computers. I think it's time to actually upgrade my Mac Mini, although I'm so sad because the new Mac Minis from Apple suck. So they don't have quad-core drives in them. But
strange.
Yeah.
Going backwards with some of these things.
Yeah, no, it is strange. So anyway, make sure you have a quad-core processor, the lowest amount of RAM, so you can upgrade the RAM on Amazon. And also, I just love that computer because of the size of the display. And graphics cards are very important to have a good, powerful one. A lot of people ask me, well, Paul, you can get a very, very powerful, like, Alienware computer with the best graphics card and, you know, this, that, and the other. But the thing is that Windows is fundamentally insecure. Ever since I bought a Mac product, I have never had a Mac product fail on me. Not once. Do you know how many Dell PCs I went through? I'm serious,
I
Rob.
Actually,
I have three at home still from college.
Well, we should go shooting.
Yeehaw! Let's do it.
I cannot wait. This is going to be fun.
I know we're going through this kind of slowly and whatnot, but also...
Yeah, sorry, we're not exactly succinct today.
No. Today
so what
is
about
not my
maybe
day.
In terms of the screen, so like either just the iPhone, you can use that, or maybe an iPad mini. That's another piece of equipment that might be needed.
For your
controller.
For your controller.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, though? You just actually brought up a good point. If you use secondary displays for editing, make sure you have an IPS display. Very important for color correction.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, I used to buy all my IPS display screens at Sam's Club, and now none of the Samsung displays are IPS, so I stopped buying them.
Interesting.
Yep.
Why?
So Sam's Club, what are you doing?
Why IPS? What does that even mean?
IPS ensures that it's a true color. If you don't have IPS, you will always have to color correct for the error of the monitor.
Interesting.
So, for example, IPS, you'll never get a true neutral gray.
Okay.
It'll always be bias or offset.
Interesting.
So you'll always have to recolor correct after you correct.
You mean
events.
Non-IPS?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, with IPS, you can calibrate correctly.
Well, I'm just trying to think of other equipment that we could put in his expedition, like special cables.
Oh, man, dude, we could be here all day long.
Sorry.
All day long.
I'm trying to give the people what they need, Paul, what they want.
Dude, yeah, I mean, like, my expedition has a huge 24,000 lumen light on it, so I can do crazy nighttime aerial stuff. Like, my whole car is set up for aerials. No, I have it so that...
I'm just kidding.
I have it so it is actually modular now, so I can just put it on, take it off, put it on,
take
it off.
All right.
So most people just install them, and then you hear this, as you're driving, and it sounds awful.
Yeah, so we started this podcast off by kind of lamenting the people that get into the minutia too much, but I'm starting to get into the minutia here. What about things like orange cones to you know, barrier off areas that you're going to be flying from, things like that?
Man, I should just do Amazon links for all of this stuff. You can get customizable cones so people don't steal them because people steal them all the time.
Jerks.
So, but I mean, dude, you can go ham. I kind of helped some guys develop this truck that they use for their mobile command center.
Nice.
And it's badass.
Yeah.
I mean, so imagine my truck, but a little drawer slides out of the bottom and 3-4 screens pop up as extra displays. And you've got your aviation radios there.
And put that you on
got
my
your
Christmas
lights.
List.
It was a $55,000 truck bed.
13 miles, $55,000.
That's probably what it gets to the gallon.
Yeah, right.
At least with EcoBoost, you get 20 miles a gallon. I think, you know, I want to go back to software because I'm just not sure that we covered it all. I use Adobe products for photo editing. For video editing, I recommend Adobe over FCPX just because the support has disappeared. Oh, man. There's obviously mapping software applications, like I was starting to say at the beginning, that I use when I'm out is Hover, Sailflow, and DJI Go, shocker. A drone to map is kind of a favorite for mappers in our community, but that class is coming out soon. You can check that out on your own. They go through all of the applications, the pros and cons of each one, you would want to use one over the other, why you would want to use one particular map if it's a, I forget the exact term, but it's like matched topography. So essentially it always ensures that your altitude is the exact altitude set. So for example, if you want to fly 100 feet, it's going to make sure that you're always at 100 feet above that particular position.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
What's out there nowadays?
So equipment-wise, I mean, if he's just getting into it, Phantom 4 Pro is an amazing, amazing vehicle.
So how many batteries? What's the minimum number of batteries?
I would have 8.
Okay. That's the minimum?
No, you could probably get away with 6 just because of how much time you're getting out of them. You're probably going to use 3 batteries an hour. On a hot day, you're going to use 4 or 5. So you want to make sure that you can constantly cycle without ruining the batteries. So another thing that I would recommend is I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty of cooling down batteries right after they're super hot, and you don't want to shock the battery because you lose life. I learned that the hard way. Don't be like me.
Hey, that's why we're here, so people can learn from our mess ups. Right?
Oh, the jokes I could go with.
Shorten the learning curve. Please don't. I don't even know where you're going with that, but I know it ain't good.
It just depends on your ideology of good there, Rob.
Well, that's fair enough.
Well, anyway, guys, I hope this helped you out. It's a lot of information, a lot of little tips and tricks from computers to the best drone to starting your business. And the thing that we didn't even talk about was the business applications.
Oh, yeah, that's not this podcast.
Great. Well, I'm glad to hear we're going to go over that soon.
I think we have, but we can do it again. And we're going to do a class on it.
Yeah, we are going to do a class on it. But anyway, guys, if you have a question, just go to Ask a Drone You. Try to make your question kind of detailed if you could, or focused, I guess, is the better way to say that. Because as you can see, we can go all over the place with these answers sometimes.
Yeah, so for example, if this question said, I've got $5,000, and people have done this, right? I've got $10,000. I actually kind of like the way this question was worded, but you know, not to take away from what you're saying. More detail, the better often.
Our computer was 22.
I don't think it was that much. I think it was like 1,700.
And then the RAM was 200.
Yeah.
And then maybe not even 200. And then the second monitor was 150. I'm pretty sure I picked up that monitor. And then what else do we have? Synology is the most expensive thing, and that's our storage. And that's because we shoot classes all the time. So we have terabytes on terabytes on terabytes in an order of magnitude to store.
Right.
So that's why we do that. But I would say that you can start an entire drone business without accounting for the fact that you need money to live for 18 months, okay? So without accounting for that, because you should account for that, or have a way to create revenue during that time, aside from your drone business, because it takes time to get the ball rolling downhill. Whether you want to believe that or not, it takes time. And how much time it takes is fully up to you. How hard are you willing to work for it? How many associations are you going to hit? How often are you going to practice? How often are you going to reach out to new people? How often are you going to do cold calls? How often are you going to go on social media? How often are you going to build relationships that are going to be actionable in time? It is up to you. And if 16-year-old kids can call into this podcast and ask how to get into the drone business, guys, think about that.
They're on your tail.
If that doesn't fire you up, I don't know what will.
That's right.
So anyway, guys, thank you for listening. Love the questions. Love the reviews. We're almost to 100 reviews on iTunes. Would you mind taking us over that amount? And also, guys, thank you for making Living the Drone Life the number one drone book on Amazon. That means the world to us. Thank you again. That's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob.
This is Ask Drone You.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.